Okay, my name is Linda Hohengarten, and I'm come from Bothell, Washington. I've lived in there for over 45 years, so I guess I'm in the semi-native community. But first learned about Holden from people at church, and decided at that time we had two young kids and decided to come up here. And it was in the early 80s, and when things were in full bore, and Wes Preeb was in his prime, and glory, and
Wait, do you remember Wes?
Oh, very much so, very much so. And, you know, watching him over the years, and he was, you know, what an iron fist he ruled that pool hall. He was good. He kept those kids in line, and man, I tell you, you did not drop a ball, or you did not. That collection of 25 cents was very real, and we did, you know, we, with the kids, especially when we paid our dues in there. And, in fact, it was funny, last night I went down, and I had, in my younger years, had bowled, and I kind of gave that up, and I donated a bowling ball, and it's still here. I can't believe it. I bowled with it last night.
How did you know it was yours?
Oh, it's very distinctive and very feminine. It fit my finger still. You know, it was like, hooray! It's still being useful, so that was great. But now I come up and have been coming in the more recent years with my son and grandson, and my grandson is now 15, so he's been coming since he was 8 or so, and this year I'm with my daughter as well, and my granddaughter, and she's 9, and this is her first year, and they've heard stories, you know, and now my grandson is just, both my son and grandson are just wedded to this place. They love it coming and involved with junior minors and minors and all that kind
what
of stuff.
Their names?
Brandon is my grandson, and Lauren is my granddaughter. And my son is Matt, and my daughter is Melissa. And I had I have a third son, John, who's my computer geek, and he's in his young 30s, and he was not able to get away. But I do have a story to tell about him. When I was... came up here just with him right after divorcing, and that was a hard time for John, and I decided let's get away, just, you know, and this is such a peaceful place and a fun place, and he associated that with peace and fun, and he was in the sixth grade, and we came up and we stumbled into the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Week, and in previous years, they had much more theme weeks and that type of thing. And, well, he was in sixth grade, and there were a lot of deaf community in town, in the village. And so everything was signed, and there were a lot of kids. And he fell madly in love with a little deaf girl, and she was a little spitfire. And I guess several kids from the Washington State School for the Deaf down in Vancouver, Washington. I don't think it exists anymore. But they were in the village. And oh, my goodness, his heart, he was just so smitten. And he came away from that. He bought all the books, the ASL books. He was convinced he was going to learn ASL and become a translator. And that was going to be his life avocation. And he communicated with her for years, several years, and we always came up during the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Week, and after a couple of weeks, I think she wrote him a Dear John letter, and that just broke his little heart, but, you know, and he came up several years after that, and then just, you know, he was in college, and life moved on for him, but now, that was his first little love, and was Holden Village, and yeah, it was fun.
I wonder how many first loves.
Well, my pastor met his wife here.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. So, when he heard I was going back up to Holden, he said, oh, me and my wife want to get back up there, and we haven't for years. But so at any rate, he did, I have to say, he really was conscientious, especially the first year or two with learning ASL. And he got into trouble at school about it because he taught his friends sign language. And so they used to, instead of passing notes, he and his friend would sign, and the teacher and the kids loved it, you know, but the teacher didn't appreciate it, so he was told to stop doing that. It was like their little, you know, their own language that they could have in classes. So that was funny. So that he remembers that very fondly, and I suspect he still's got those ASL books. So that was great. Yeah.
And you were talking before we started recording, you were talking about why.
Coming back.
And the process of getting.
Oh, there is a submersion one does, I think. And I always like to go to the B&B. And living in Seattle, it's only a 2 to 3 hour drive. We always leave on an afternoon then and go into Wenatchee and eat a big, huge, juicy hamburger because we know that will be the last we will see of a juicy hamburger for a week. And then we drive up to the B&B. And I used to have almost a little religious ceremony of where I would take my watch off and put it away in my suitcase and never to really put it back on while I was there. Because your shoulders come down and you just relax, and there's such a peace about all that. And then the boat ride, and I always bring my binoculars because I love looking at the shorelines as we come up Lake Chelan and disembarking. And you tell people about their, you know, what it's like. And it's so hard to encapsulate it. But I haven't anybody that who's come up since, you know, after hearing me rattle on about it, you know, they're never disappointed. They have their own version. You know, everybody has their own sense of Holden and what they bring and experience here, but it's always positive and always a powerful thing for people, I think. And it's a place in my heart. And it's nice to transfer that to my children and grandchildren, who I think Lauren has nothing but positive things. Although, like I told you, I think she's a bit on sensory overload.
This is the granddaughter
whose first time is this time, and we're just day number two into it. And, you know, she's just in awe. Right now she thinks little chipmunks are adorable, you know.
You're not letting her feed them,
no,
right?
No feeding. She knows that's a no-no. But seeing the deer walk around the village what an upper for her. So, yeah, last night we all went down to the pool hall and we had our family pool game, and then went, and Lauren was so enamored with the bowling, and she did not want to bowl with the ball. She wanted to be back with the pins. That was her big fun. And so she and my daughter were back there, and the rest of us bowling. It was great. That's where I reconnected with my bowling ball. I thought, oh, you look good. A little pockmarked now, but you look good. So.
That's great. So you were referencing that's kind of part of your family legacy. It's not just what you love, but it's part of the warp and woof.
The experience, yeah. It is, and I love it. So, one little addendum story has to do with, wasn't that many years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years, when there was the donkey fire. And we came up when the fire had just started. And so there wasn't the worry. But it was the most mobilized I'd seen the village, and they closed and evacuated Holden not a day or two after we left, because the fire was reaching down so that it would block Railroad Creek and block any entrance or exit from Holden Village, and it was an amazing time, especially when, even when we were leaving, a day or two before Holden was evacuated, we go out Highway 2 and going through Leavenworth in the canyon, but west of Leavenworth, there was, they had just reopened that up, and there was fire all the way down to the highway. It was, I came away from that very respectful of forest fires and about what a fragile coexistence we have. And, yeah, it, and an appreciation with all the work that everybody does on staff here to keep us safe. My goodness, it's rigorous, and you respect that power. So, and it was good to see that, you know, organization around all that, and it was very real. That was a fascinating experience.
Were you nervous at all?
Concerned, especially because smoke was beginning to build up, and you could feel it, you know, because it would waft up and down the valley. And then they, you would hear helicopters going. But there were, you know, it was the hot topic for everybody to talk about it. And but you went to the classes. And I have to tell you, oh, I do want to say, I keep thinking, I loved, you know, what I did year after year really varied. Sometimes I went to no classes. Sometimes I went to any number of classes. And I kind of developed a rhythm where I would pick one topic, and I always liked the science ones. And the, I remember there was the one year where I was went to the one by was like geology 101, and he was a member of the NOAA volcano SWAT team, and oh, that was fascinating. And there was one year that we were taught about Indian lore and astronomy, and we spent one evening taking blankets up on top of the tailings, and everybody had to lay down and look up, and we had a Native American who told, they have a whole different set of names for the various you know, Capricorn is not called Capricorn. They name it something else. And they have different arrangements and names and mythology and how the stars are really the inside of a shell of a turtle. And, you know, the legend and the stories with the Native American culture around the skies and stars. And we heard that. And that was just a magical experience.
Oh,
it was wonderful.
Memorable.
Yeah, and the whole week was about astronomy. And that type of thing, and just that was such a strange evening of just, you know, it was just amazing experience. But you'd never have that kind of an experience anywhere, but here at Holden, so it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, I blah on too much.
So no, I'm so glad that that you wanted to tell that story, especially.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I can just imagine that experience.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep.
We
can stop.
Off?
We can stop.